Yo, what's cracking? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 55 of the Everything Snowboarding, Outdoors, and More podcast. This week's special guest is Bob Baldwin. Bob Baldwin and his buddy Jay Ledbetter wrote a book on the proper care and feeding of a hunting buddy. This is a great, really fun podcast. You know, it's not just necessarily for hunters, but anybody that recreates outdoors with friends, whether it's mountain biking, hiking, camping, skiing, splitboarding, all that stuff, you're probably going to be able to learn something here. This week's special guest, again, Bob Baldwin, and this week's episode is being sponsored by Snow King Mountain. Snow King Mountain is an often overlooked little mom-and-pop ski resort right here in downtown Jackson, Wyoming. We had a wonderful season of summer concerts, the Snow King concerts. They've got a new gondola they put in a couple years ago, new beginner terrain on top, and for the expert skiers, really steep, deep skiing, deep tree skiing terrain. So anyway, be sure to listen to this podcast. Bob Baldwin is the guest. First of all, Bob Baldwin, welcome to the show. Bob is one of the co-founders of a book called Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting Buddy. And as we've had a big fall this year hunting here in the Tetons and we're getting into winter, we wanted to bring Bob on. Bob's also an author. I think he was the founder of bowhuntinginfo.com as well. So we'll get into that. But Bob, welcome to the show. And let's talk a little bit about your book and kind of, what it means to keep a hunting buddy safe out there.
Yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity. I wish that Jay could have joined us. He's my co-author. Unfortunately, he's out of country right now, so you're stuck with me. So Jay and I have been hunting together for, I guess, over 20 years now. And, is primarily bow hunting, although I do shoot and I've got a number of guns and all that stuff, but primarily bow hunting and safety is always one of those things that's always foremost. We've hunted in places like, obviously we've hunted in Colorado and Montana and New Mexico and Texas and Canada, a number of places in Canada, and safety is always one of those things that we you need to be cautious about and aware about and take care of, right?
Yeah. And so a lot of times, when we talk about safety, what kind of pre-planning can go into a hunting trip? What kind of condition do you think somebody should be in if they're going to go out there and they want to do some bow hunting and maybe go after an elk or go climb up into a tree stand looking for deer? Is there some pre-season stuff that you can do that's going to kind of minimize some of the risk that will be involved come hunting season?
Absolutely. Especially depending on where you're hunting, right? I mean, if you're just going out, in the backwoods behind your house in Ohio or Michigan, you probably don't need to do a lot of conditioning. But if you're hunting in Canada or if you're hunting in Colorado, where Jay and I have hunted a number of times, you really do need to do some preconditioning. So every year that we were planning an elk hunt or a moose hunt in Canada, I would spend, and I'm not a young chicken anymore, but I would spend at least three miles a day walking and try to get in some hills and that sort of thing, just so I could condition my body before I tried to get out there into the middle of serious elk country, right?
Yeah, definitely. I came off the couch per se this year. I was working really hard this fall, early season, and hadn't really been doing my normal recreating. And then all of a sudden it was elk season. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go get elk. And ended up getting two elk and a deer. I mean, just had a really, really amazing season. But at one point, as I was bending over by myself, cutting up my elk, hunting solo, all of a sudden my back locked up. And I thought, this is from sitting at the computer and doing no exercising. Like normally I was doing yoga and I was really good at running and getting like the core really strong. And then, okay, I'm bending over this animal, I'm going to bend with my core. And here I am using my entire back by myself and it locked up. And so it's one of the things, I actually do hunt a lot by myself. This year was the first time that I've actually had a hunting partner that's seen me shoot an animal. So normally, there's times where we go out and we hunt like together, like we leave the truck together, but then we're kind of off on our own. So this was kind of the first time that I had the partner there. And I can tell you, like, it felt so much better. First of all, his enthusiasm, when I shot the elk, he was so psyched. And I was like, wow, it's, it was different than kind of how I would react. I'm not like jumping up and down like, yeah. I mean, he just hadn't seen something like that before. And so he was really excited. But then when it came down to getting down there to now the work begins. Now I have an animal, a big elk down at the bottom of this drainage, and I actually have a partner that can help me. And so just talk about the importance of, you know, mental and physical having somebody out there.
Well, it's crucial. It really is. Jay and I, and of course we've written the book, Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting Buddy. And it's humorous events that have transpired in our hunting escapades. Right. But the truth of the matter is, especially when you're out doing something like in Colorado or in Ontario or Alberta, it's really important to have a hunting partner. Even if, like you said, you know, you drive the truck somewhere and you split up, at least you know where your other hunting partner is, right? In case something happens, right? In case a tree stand falls, or in case, you know, you get lost or whatever else, or your back goes out or your knee goes out, right? There's somebody that knows where you are and can find you and make certain that things are safe. So Jay and I, and frankly, and I think you said it too, it's a lot of fun to be with someone. So typically Jay and I, if we're elk hunting, would be, we would work together, and we would basically, one of us would be calling, one of us would be the designated shooter. Not, by the way, that we ever shot anything, you understand, with a bow, but that was kind of the way that we would work it. And we came out of some of those hunting escapades with so many good stories and so much fun. I've heard Jay say, you know, if somebody were to offer me $10,000 to go up on a mountain and hunt elk alone with my bow, I'd probably say, you know, can Bob come? And if Bob can't come, maybe I won't do it. Right. It's so much more fun when you can share your hunt with other people. And it also makes for a much safer hunt as well.
Of course. And so you and Jay, you know, you guys, you're going out there together in the field. What are some things that you guys make sure that you kind of always have with you? You know, are there some things over the years, you know, maybe the shit has hit the fan per se, and all of a sudden you realized, okay, from now on, we are always carrying a lighter, or we're always going to make sure that we have, you know, a couple snack bars. I mean, what are some things that before you guys are leaving are always going in your kit for somebody that's hunting or just even doing outdoor adventures should consider adding to
their
pack?
Yeah, I have two packs, basically. I have what I call, I have a fanny pack, which I carry with me all the time in the early fall when the weather's nice. And in that fanny pack, I've got, you know, a space blanket just in case. I've always got fire starting material. I've always got some sort of a small first aid kit. I'm always carrying a whistle or something that can communicate with other people. So in that fanny pack, and obviously I've always got a knife and that sort of thing. So if I get into trouble in the early fall, I've got, you know, something that I know I can build a fire. I can make myself heard. I've got, if I cut myself or fall or something, I've got something that I can provide first aid kit. And then once it gets closer toward winter, then I've got a bigger pack that I carry. I always carry the fanny pack as well, because it's got a bunch of stuff. But then I start thinking about, now I got to keep, you know, even in, and you know, hunting out west in Colorado, you can go from, you know, 55 degrees to 30 in a heartbeat, just climbing these mountains. And so as you get later in the year, you want to make certain that you've got some warmer clothing and things like that. Maybe even, you know, a tarp that you can crawl under in the event that you get stuck or that sort of thing. So that's the kind of thing you want to be careful of. And it's not just in the mountains. Jay and I have hunted in Canada. And if you get in Canada and you get turned around in Canada and some of these Ontario places, there's no such thing as a straight line that you can follow. I've always got a compass with me, right? But you can't follow a compass point in Canada for any length of time, because you're going to have to detour around the million lakes that are there, right? So it's important to carry the right equipment and be aware of where you're going, be in the shape that you need to be for wherever it is you're going, and make certain that somebody knows, you know, at least approximately where you're at.
Oh, definitely. And I think hunting, it's really important to that last part that you said is, you know, really making sure that somebody knows where you're going, or you're supposed to call somebody at the end of the day. Because like you said, I mean, you can get out there, you can twist a knee. I mean, you can get turned around. Maybe you went somewhere and you thought it was a straight line, or it looked like it was on the map, and you get out there and your compass is like, no, I got to go around these trees. And it's, you know, now it's all of a sudden it's dark. And you know, so we've covered the aspect of, you know, your physical health. We've talked about some of the equipment that you can bring with you. What about humor? How does that play into hunting? And maybe when you're out there and maybe the conditions aren't as nice as it is, or maybe things aren't going as good as they can, how important is it to have some humor out there and to keep, you know, your mental capacity strong and happy?
It's incredible. I'll tell you a quick story. One of our first hunting episodes, we were hunting Colorado, and we were elk hunting. And every morning we were getting up and we're seeing elk at about, you know, 10,000 feet or thereabouts, right? And we couldn't get above them, right? They would climb back up above tree line by the time, you know, it was morning. And so we decided, well, you know what, we're gonna set up a spike camp. We're going to set up a spike camp, right? So we started packing all our gear. And the funny thing is, and there, this is one of our stories, right? And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but the funny thing is this story is we packed all kinds of stuff, all our food, all our equipment and everything else. And we got up to the camp and we set up camp, and we're at 10,500 feet just below tree line, right? Got all set up and started to get, and I'm going through my pack, pulling out gear, right? And I'm saying, hey, where's our cups for a cup of tea, right? And we forgot the cups. Where's the sugar that we were going to use we forgot that. And I'm digging, and I pulled something out of my pack, you know, and I'm looking at a stainless steel spatula that you use for flipping pancakes or eggs. And I say to Jay, I said, did we bring any eggs up here? And he said, no, Bob, we didn't bring any eggs. I said, did we bring any pancake mix up here? And he said, no, Bob, we didn't bring any pancake. Did we bring any syrup for the pancakes? No. And I said, as I pulled out this spatula, I said, then why in the world am I carrying this 14-pound spatula in my pack? Right? We have laughed about that. And every time we're out, one of us is sticking a spatula in the other guy's pack wherever we go, right? So now it's always, don't let your hunting buddy have unsupervised access to your pack, because it's going to end up with a spatula in it.
Right.
And the heavier, the better.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned bow hunting versus rifle hunting. Do you just enjoy bow hunting over, you know, rifle hunting, or were you a rifle hunter to begin with and kind of made the transition?
Yeah, no, I've hunted with a bow since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And I thoroughly enjoy it. It's just something that I enjoy. And by the way, I have lots of guns, and I enjoy shooting. We hunt hogs with guns and things like that. And I hunt hogs with my bow as well. But we have really enjoyed bow hunting. I like it. It's earlier in the year. I love the opportunity to get closer to animals, right? I love still hunting. I love stalking. And that's what I've loved about bow hunting. But I'm a gunner as well. We do a lot of bird hunting as well. And that is always, you know, with a shotgun, that sort of thing. And so I don't have any problem with gun hunting. I've got some nice guns that will reach out there a long ways as necessary, but I still like bow hunting, although I'm reaching a point, you know, that my shoulders don't like the bows anymore, right? So I'm probably going to be doing more and more gun hunting in the future.
Definitely. And then with you and Jay, who's the better caller? Or do you guys kind of just switch off, or is one of you the go-to?
It's we're both probably pretty good at calling. We don't have a problem with that. I will tell you this, Jay is a better writer than I am, right? So he's the guy that does most of our writing. I guess you'd say I'm the guy with the pratfalls. You know, I'm the guy that trips over the log or falls out of the canoe or, you know, has the tent drop on him, that sort of thing. And then Jay takes it and puts it into words and makes it funny.
Oh, I love it. Any places that you recommend that for outdoor people or for hunters that they should check out? I know we've talked about Colorado a little bit. We've talked about some places up in Canada, you know, Ontario. Where are some places that you've enjoyed spending time outdoors over the years?
Oh my gosh, there's no end to it, right? We've hunted a number of places in Colorado, in Montana. We've hunted three or four times in different places in Ontario, Canada, Alberta, Canada, New Mexico, Texas. Texas is an awesome place if you want to hunt hogs. You know, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, to me, you know, it doesn't matter as much about what I'm hunting or even how much we're hunting as much as it is just being outdoors, being out in nature in God's country and enjoying what God has given us and then fellowshipping, that partnership or ability to just share things with another hunter, you know, even though you're separated, you know, for, you know, a quarter of a mile or a half a mile away from each other, when you come back to camp and you can express, you know, what you saw, why you saw it, you can talk about that. Oh, I almost got the shot, but I missed it. You know, and you can just relive those instances with your hunting buddy. And those are the kind of things that I think make hunting a great activity, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned fellowship, and some of my closest friends now, I mean, it's through hunting. And a lot of them are people that I would never, ever, ever interact with in normal life. I mean, there would be no way that I would ever have come in touch with these people and either being out there hunting and walking in the woods and meeting somebody or meeting somebody at, you know, at the trailhead or starting to talk to somebody and, oh, you hunt? Well, I hunt too. We should go out together. And just like these relationships that I've built through hunting. Again, I do hunt a lot by myself, but in that, I mean, anytime I get something or if one of my friends in this community gets something, all of us are going to know about it because that call is going to go out and everybody's going to be, oh my God, did you hear he got an elk? Oh, does he need help? Like, let's get out there. And it's a really, I think until you've actually done it and kind of really put boots on the ground and, you know, you can say you're a hunter. When you meet somebody else that associates with that and they also say they're a hunter too. I mean, it took me probably 6 or 7 years of hunting before I really thought I was a hunter. You know, I wasn't really getting animals. I mean, I was doing it, but now it's like, I look forward to hunting season. I mean, I remember friends talking about looking forward to it all year. And I was like, wow, that's, why would you do that? It's only this 3-month thing. Now, like my whole life is being based around that. And moving forward into next year, you know, I said this fall, my core wasn't as strong as it would be. I'll never let that happen again. And so it was nice to hear you saying that you do, you know, you get out there and you put some miles in. And it is really important to kind of be thinking about, you know, if you are going to be successful at this, you know, if you're going to be successful at anything, you've got to put some time in. And then there's repetition involved as well. You can't just, oh, it's, you know, not just like riding a bike, like, oh, I'll just be a hunter and I haven't done this in 5 years and I'll just go out there and everything's fine. It's like, no. Because there's a lot of, like you said, a lot of things that you can easily forget too. You know, you get out there, you get to the trailhead and no flashlight or no headlamp, or you get out there and you realize, oh my gosh, like I left just my hunting boots. I've got my normal boots on, just the silliest little things. And so I do think that there's something to be said for having those partners involved with hunting. I mean, one of my closest friends now, I mean, he's an oil worker from, you know, lives a few hundred miles from here, and somebody that real tough, you know, real, you know, big country guy. I'm total opposite of that. And we've just hit it off. And I'm so grateful that hunting was able to do that. And I think it was because we did share a lot of humor being out there and just really, it's not called shooting. I mean, most of the time you're not getting anything. And so the success rate is so low. I mean, that feedback loop, it's like you almost have to be stubborn. Or like you said, just really love being out in God's country and being like, you know what? Like, I don't care what happens today. Like, we're out here. Like, look at the sunrise we just got. Look at this. Oh, look at those tracks. Oh, there was a bird there. Like, there's the smallest little things can make it such a big experience. And then if maybe you see tracks of an animal, it's like, oh my gosh. And then if you see an animal, it's like, holy cow, or maybe call an elk in, or you get to actually shoot something. That is a whole different, that is like chapter 2 of hunting or chapter 3.
It really is. It's almost anticlimactic to actually take an animal,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
And by the way, Jay and I have both taken more than our share of animals over the years, but we like to laugh at ourselves enough. We say, you know, we call ourselves hunters, but really what we do most of the time is just carry very expensive archery equipment and long treks in the woods and have occasional moments of sheer adrenaline rush when we actually see something, right? So
I'm going to use that long treks in the woods with expensive, bow or rifle equipment, heavy stuff too sometimes.
Yep. That's what it is, right? That's what we call hunting, right? So.
And we love it. And we come back year after year. And again, I think there is some humor in it. And I mean, some of those mornings, you know, especially here this fall when it got cold and it was, you know, negative 10 and it's dark. And I'm like, I don't want to get out of bed today. Like, this is going to be awful. And all of a sudden I get out there. I'm like, I am so happy I got out here. Like, this is the best thing I could have ever done.
And very often, it's those mornings that you say, oh no, it's going to be 10 degrees below zero or even, you know, whatever, 32 degrees even, right? No, it's too cold. I don't want to do that. But if you got a hunting buddy, he's already up and at him and he's going to drag your butt out of bed,
yep,
and say, no, we're going hunting. Mm-hmm. Right. And once you get out there, you're happy you did, right? Because that's when you see that 10 point buck, or that's when you see that 6x6 walk by that you almost got a shot at, right? You know, that sort of thing. So,
and then you can both chuckle saying, remember you wanted to sleep in this morning? And I said, no,
yeah,
we're going out
exactly
there. Where can people follow along on more adventures with you and Jay? Are you guys writing, are you guys coming up with more books? Or are you doing like blog posts?
We don't do a blog, but we've actually written 30 stories. We published the first 6 stories in the Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting Buddy. You can get that at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. You'll have to, you know, you're not going to find it in a Barnes & Noble store probably, but you can certainly order it there, and you can certainly order it through Amazon. You can get it either digitally or hardback or you know, paperback as well. Just have it look up Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting, you know, apostrophe N, no G, Hunting Buddy, and you'll find it there. We also have a website called bobandjay.com. You can find we have a Facebook page, Bob and Jay, you know, just look at Bob N, the letter N, J from Facebook. And we have a subscription page for YouTube as well. Once again, go to YouTube and search Bob and Jay, and you can get that. And we've done a number of interviews. We're in the process right now of completing our second book, and we're looking to publish that, I hope, early next year. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but we're working on it. So when we started doing this, we didn't do it because we were hoping we were going to make money and publish these books. We started writing these stories because they were humorous events about what happened on our hunts. I don't know if you ever read Pat McManus.
I have not. I will write that down.
Pat McManus used to write the it was called The Last Laugh in Outdoor Life, right? It was the last page of an Outdoor Life magazine. And he ended up writing, I don't know how many hundreds of, probably 100 columns, and ended up putting them in books. And we used to read those books. And so our humor is very similar to Pat McManus's humor, basically. I tell people there's a kernel of truth in every one of our stories. It might be a real small kernel, but there's a kernel of truth. And basically what it is, something would have happened, like the spatula, right? What am I doing with carrying this 14-pound spatula up a mountain, right? Those kinds of things are what trigger a story. And then, well, see, I would always tell absolutely the truth straight lace, but Jay's a lawyer, right? I mean, you know what? So he has a tendency to expand and maybe elaborate a little bit on it, right? But they come out hilariously funny. People that read, and it's a niche, right? Some people really think it's kind of cute. Some people they can't get through the story without wetting their pants. They're laughing so hard, right? So those are the kinds of things we like to do, and we love doing it.
Yeah, and this seems like a great, you know, stocking stuffer for the holidays, or, you know, for, you know, even my, you know, my hunting partners, my hunting buddies. I mean, I could see myself getting this for them. And I mean, I'm just looking at the cover right now, and it's something that if somebody gave me this, I would chuckle. And especially if it's somebody that I know that I've actually gone out there and had some of, you know, similar experiences, or experiences that could probably be written down and put into books as well, because it is, the things going wrong are happening as much, if not more, than the things going right. And so to be able to talk about all that and to have some humor with it, this is great. So yeah, Bob, I really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us.
So one quick notion. We always tell you, keep one of those hunting stories in your hunting camp. But if you've got an outhouse, right, and you keep the book in the outhouse, make sure there's plenty of toilet paper in there or somebody's not going to get to the punchline.
I love it. Well, if you feel like laughing from your guts, and I can just tell that by talking to you, Bob, definitely check out this book, Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting Buddy, Bob Baldwin and Jay Ledbetter. Thanks again for writing this great book. And I look forward to definitely watching your guys' adventures and looking for round two.
All right. Thanks. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to our next book. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode number 55 with Bob Baldwin. And that was really fun for Bob, you know, just talking about all the stuff that him and Jay did. What a hoot. And his book, once again, is called The Proper Care and Feeding of a Hunting Buddy. This week's episode is being sponsored by Snow King Mountain. Snow King Mountain, definitely something you want to check out when you're here in Jackson. Whether it's in the summertime and you want to do the zip lines or the coaster, or in the wintertime and you just want to ski some really ripping terrain, be sure to check out Snow King Mountain.